So, where are you going to meet with Pete? Mike asks. His hotel. When? Lance asks. Tomorrow. You going alone, says Mike? No, Lance, you're coming too. No problem, says Lance. Jay, you willing to come along? We may need an inconspicuous spotter. Seems like you're not on anybody's radar screen. Sure seems that way. I guess Jack never did his arithmetic on me. Serves him right for being a sexist pig. Yeah, I'll come, says Jay. Is this really a good idea? Mike asks. Only one way to find out. And anyway, you can all watch on Pete's rigged laptop, says David. They finish their cold pizza and wait for Pete's appearance at the warehouse. Time, 1 p.m. Sid and Mark are the first to arrive at the warehouse. They've also seen the papers and TV. They suspect that Pete's days are numbered, so they want to distance themselves from him if at all possible. Joe arrives, looking ashen. He knows things are going downhill quickly. Just a matter of time before St. Louis goes berserk. He wants to make sure it's Pete that gets roasted, not himself. Sid, Mark, and Joe wait nervously in Joe's bugged office. Joe says, I don't know what went wrong, but it looks like everything that could did. Damn, now we're on freaking TV. St. Louis won't like this. They don't appreciate publicity, you know what I mean? They both nod knowledgeably. Then they hear heavy, fast footsteps stomping down the wood-floored corridor. The door bursts open and in walks Pete in a rage, brandishing a newspaper. Okay, you three, what the fuck happened last night? Have you seen this crap? Waving the newspaper. How the hell did our guys end up half-naked at a rest stop out in the interstate? I want some answers now. Everything seemed okay. I got in, locked the door to the club, opened the loading dock door. Then I ducked out to go wait with Sid to cover Harry and Steve's exit, just like we planned. The last thing I saw, our guys were going up in the elevator. Everything was going according to plan. Well, something sure the fuck went wrong. What the fuck was up with Harry and Steve? Who the hell told them to shoot some kid? I guess they didn't have much choice. Newspapers say some kid opened fire on them, offers Joe. Yeah, and that got the fucking riot started. Now those corpses are all over the TV. Is there any way they can trace them back here, asks Pete. Probably not. They both got records. I think the police will put two and two together. But it still shows up as robbery and they had a revenge motive, too. I don't think they'll find out about us. Too much else going on. What's with your four guys the highway patrol picked up? I had an attorney go and say he was sent by one of their families. He called me and said they put together a story that they were hijacked by some truckers and they escaped and barricaded themselves in the men's room at the rest stop. Some horny truckers actually did try to take them on and there were bullet holes in the steel door of the men's room to prove it. One of my guys actually had a broken jaw and a lot of bruise marks. I don't know how, yet. They were released about an hour ago, except for the one with the broken jaw. He's still in the hospital. The lawyer told him to come here separately once they were sure no one was following them. They should start arriving soon. They'll be able to tell us what happened in the elevator. Okay, then we wait for them, says Pete. Mark, Sid, can you go up the street and get some coffee and donuts? Mark and Sid head up the street to the coffee shop. As they leave the building, they see the first of the would-be killers approaching. Mark nods at him, tilting his head towards the door, saying, they're waiting. The other nods back and enters. As they walk quickly up the street, Mark says, Pete's in big trouble. He looked desperate, don't you think? Dead man walking. I wonder if he's spoken with Jack. Who knows? Does he need to? That operation was supposed to send a message to David, but it ended up that David sent a message to Jack. I wonder what other tricks that David guy has got up his sleeve. I think Pete's running out of tricks, said Sid. They wouldn't sell Jack short. By the time Mark and Sid return, the last of the four has arrived. Mark and Sid sit back near the wall, hoping their interrogation is over. Pete looks at Joe and gives an exasperated sigh and says, well, that David guy knew we were coming. How the fuck did he know? That's what I want to know. He looks towards Sid and Mark and said, did you see anything? No, boss. We didn't see anything unusual, says Mark. Okay, all you guys get out of sight in case they find any surveillance video showing who lit the fireworks or you guys coming in through the freight door. At least Harry and Steve won't be doing any talking. Mark, Sid, and the four would-be killers get up and leave. Pete finishes his coffee, rubbing the back of his neck. Joe leans over and in a quiet voice says, Harry and Steve weren't going to say much anyway, Pete. That last batch of meth I gave them would have ended them even if the crowd hadn't. It'll show up in the autopsy, though. All the better, smiles Pete. The cops will chalk the incident up to a drug OD and probably won't look much further. Anyway, I'm going back to the hotel and see if I can figure a way out of this mess. You see if you can find out how that David knew we were coming. Chapter 7. Sunday, January 14. Time, noon. A little before noon, David and Lance are ready to go to Pete's hotel. They knock on Mike's door. He answers and they ask, where's Jay? Mike walks over to the balcony and points at Jay, who's sitting at one of the tables far below. There she is. She's down there playing with the damn canaries. She takes more interest in the birds than me. And the floor below, Jay is sitting at a table, banging away on her laptop while five canaries are perched on the top of the screen, singing away. Several more are feasting on the peanuts she's crushed and sprinkled on the table. Two more are on her shoulders. Jay has attracted a serious following among the winged set as she brings them seeds and nuts liberated from Todd's larder. David laughs as they watch the show and says, hey, now knock it. Yeah? You know how many she's got living in the apartment now? They fly up to the door and peck on it until she lets them in. Well, at least they knock. Finally, Lance goes over to the balcony. Hey, Jay, lose the birds. Let's go. She looks up and hollers back. Okay, I'm ready. Have my Mikey, give you my coat. They meet her on the floor, hand her the coat, and drive to Pete's hotel. They park David's SUV about a block away. Jay has an EVDO cell phone card plugged into her laptop. This gives her data rate of nearly 3 megabits per second of CDMA wireless network access. They conference with Todd and Mike back at the club. Todd tells them that while they were driving over, Pete left his room. He called Joe and said he wanted to meet him for a quick lunch at a restaurant nearby. Todd says he should be gone for a while. Lance and David will go to Pete's room and wait for his return. Jay will remain in the lobby and watch, then signal the guys upstairs when she sees him. They enter the lobby one by one rather than as a group. Jay arrives last. Lance takes the elevator first. David loiters around the lobby for a minute or two, pretending to look at some tourist brochures, then follows him up. Finally, Jay enters and sits in one of the big easy chairs and picks up a newspaper. After a moment, she folds the paper and pulls out her laptop. In addition to her EVDO access, the laptop's onboard wireless transceiver connects directly to the hotel Wi-Fi. She promptly hacks back into the hotel's network and targets its security systems. Like in most modern hotels, the security system is computer-based with digital cameras and controls. Security camera images are stored on disk, not tape. Jay hacks into the control computer and takes the security cameras offline. She then replaces the files showing Lance, David, and herself entering with an innocuous loop she captures from the disk from a few minutes earlier. She also runs a program to multiply rewrite the deleted section with random byte patterns so it can't be recovered. She disables the camera aimed at where she's sitting and makes it look like a hardware error. She also disables the exit alarms on the top floor and credits her frequent flyer account with 20,000 award points. She waits for the key card system to record the door in Pete's room being unlocked by Lance. Lance swipes the lock on Pete's room with the key card they made a few days earlier. The LED blinks green and the door opens. Jay sees the transaction appear on the hotel's database and erases it, so the only record of the door being opened will be Pete's. Satisfied, she smiles and looks around her chair for a socket to plug her battery charger in. She finds one and attaches the charger to the laptop. She brings up Pete's laptop camera from the room above and watches David and Lance as they walk into Pete's room. She then pulls out her digital camcorder and fiddles with it like a tourist, giving special attention to the penthouse suites up near the roof, one in particular. Lance and David enter Pete's sitting area. Lance begins thoroughly searching for hidden weapons, under cushions, furniture, behind mirrors. He enters the bedroom and remains out of sight for several minutes. David, meanwhile, goes through some papers he finds on the coffee table. After a while, Lance comes back into view and says, "Okay, looks pretty clean." "Good, there's nothing interesting here," says David, tossing the papers back on the desk. "Let's sit down and wait." David sits on the sofa, but Lance walks around, continuing to look the place over. Finally, he says, "This is nice. I wonder how much it costs a night." "Quite a lot, I expect." "Why, you thinking of moving here? Stick with the loft you already have. It's bigger." "Hey, I got no complaints. Just wondering. I like the balcony," he says, walking out and rubbernecking at the view below. "Maybe I could extend my apartment out so the balcony would be part of it. Might work. You pay for the renovations, though." Dave picks up his cell phone and puts it on speakerphone and calls Jay in the lobby. "We're all set up here. You see him yet?" "Nope, nothing yet. Pretty quiet down here. I can see Lance, though." Lance hears and waves. Jay nods and says, "Hello, Lance. I won't wave in case anyone's watching me." Todd's voice suddenly cuts into the phone call. "Hey, guys, we got a problem." "What is it?" says David as Lance returns to the room. "Okay, you know my phone scripts have been monitoring calls by anyone on the network whose cell numbers we've captured?" "Yeah." "And I've had my viruses make their phones send me their pen registers?" "Yeah." "Well, it seems two cell phones in Kansas City on our list got calls from a St. Louis phone early today. I don't have an ID on the St. Louis phone since it's a prepaid phone with no registered owner." "So what does that mean?" "It means someone in St. Louis wanted his calls to be untraceable. That's always a bad sign. And it gets worse. My hack of the cell phone tower router says those two phones from KC just arrived in Omaha about 45 minutes ago. They popped up in a cell near the airport. Now my data says they're within a few thousand feet of where you are. Something's going down, guys. What do you think we should do?" "Jay, have you got your EVDO card plugged in?"
"Yep."
"I'm going to remote log in to Jay's laptop and run some cell signal samples off her EVDO card. This'll take a minute or two. Hang on." David and Lance go over to the balcony and look down towards Jay. David says, "So why is Pete getting visitors from Kansas City?" "Probably not a social call," replies Lance. After a few moments, Todd says, "Okay, you guys, get the fuck out of that room now. Those two cell phones are in the hotel, probably in the lobby, very near Jay. I'm getting a real strong ID signal off both of them. Jay, stream the best lobby security cam to me." "Here it comes," says Jay as she quickly types some commands. "Good, I've got it. I can see you. Now wait, I'll make them reveal themselves. I'll ring both their cell phones at once. Jay, don't give on, listen closely. They could be anywhere."